Well, let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. So he said, verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to talk about this thought for a few minutes, abundance in need. Abundance in need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't just stop at a tradition. Lord, we do thank you for what we've already seen tonight. Lord, the singing, the fellowship, the presentation, Lord, just seeing the pictures and video of what's already been happening there. And Lord, the fact that you're showing yourself strong and you're working and you're meeting the needs and you're showing people in Guyana that you're strong as well, Lord, and helping them to put their trust in you. So Lord, we're just thankful for everything we've done so far tonight and seen so far and heard tonight. Now, Lord, we ask you just to touch us and bless us and help us tonight, and we'll give you all the thanks and glory for it. We praise and we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak very practically and personally and candidly tonight about the financial aspect of missions. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, I'm not going to pressure you about giving or shame you into giving. By the way, that's not my job. Okay, grace giving is what we find in the Bible. And grace giving is giving that's enabled by God's enabling power. When God gives us a command or an example, then he gives us the grace to be able to obey that command. Grace giving is not led by emotion. You ever gave by emotion and regretted it? I have. Grace giving is led, first of all, by the Word of God. It's led, second of all, by the Holy Spirit of God who leads you according to the Word of God. And thirdly, I believe it's led by the man of God, because I believe that every church has an under-shepherd, and that is the pastor of that church, and he leads the church and people as God leads him. I'm a big believer in spiritual authority. Just because I'm a missionary in Madagascar and my dad does not understand per se everything that goes on in Madagascar and culture or whatever, does not mean that I don't need to go to him and ask him for his advice and counsel, because he is my spiritual authority. And if he can't answer the question, he'll say, hey, go ask a veteran missionary. So it's not my place tonight to come in and try to do anything but to just encourage you as you follow your pastor. So verse 19 is a beloved verse, right? But in context, and I know you've heard this, but just remind you, in context, this is a missions promise. This promise is not in context. It's a promise to those who are giving to missions in some way, church planting and missions. Okay, order for the gospel to be going out. Paul planted the church in Philippi, and then that church later on sent money to help him in his mission work. So there are two words that are repeated in this passage. They are first, need or necessity. You see those in these verses. And then you see the word abound. Verse number 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. And then he said, In the end there, both to abound and to suffer need, which kind of seems a little bit weird, right? But we're going to look at this. So we're going to look quickly at three things. Number one, the need defined. The need defined. You're going to see in verse 14 the word affliction. That means pressure or tight, okay? And has anyone ever felt a little financial pressure in your life ever? Okay, or just when things were a little bit tight. You ever felt that at some point in your life? Okay. Paul did too. Okay. And then my necessity. That's in verse 16. He said my necessity. And then he talks about verse 19, your need. Now, what is the need? I believe that what Paul is talking about here, the need, is the need concerning the basic necessities of life. This is not covetousness. This is not a sin to have needs in order to live. It's not excessive. Paul's talking about what's excessive or having everything you want. What he is talking about is the normal financial need in order for us to live and serve God. Okay, now what do we need to live? Well, food goes a long ways, doesn't it? I think we need food to live and serve God. I mean, last time I checked, you know, that was a necessity. How about water? And clean water goes a long ways. When he was talking about that, I knew some dead animal crawled up in there. Clean water goes a long ways. It helps a lot fewer deaths when you have clean water. How about clothing? How about shelter? Okay. How about education? Now, I know we're getting to some things. The Bible talks about food and raiment. But I mean, I don't think that if we, you know, say I need a house, I don't think that's excessive. Or I need my kids to have an education so they can read and write. I don't think that we're talking about covetousness here. How about transportation to get to where we need to go? We came here to church night to worship the Lord, and we need to go to work, and we need to send our kids to school. And so I don't think that having a vehicle is in the category of excessiveness. How about medicine when we're sick? You know, or vitamins or supplements to help, you know, keep us well. How about dental care? How about phone and internet service? You know, I mean, I don't think anyone would say, boy, you're living an excessive life, man. You have a phone. You have internet. You know, you're just living, oh, you're, okay. What we're talking about, and I know we're having fun a little bit, but listen, folks, God's people are not exempt from the basic normal needs of life, and God knows this. When God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he provided them with clothing and shoes that would last. He gave them food and water. He gave them shelter. He gave them protection. So God does not expect, God, even Jesus said, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the key word. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have what? Need of all these things. There is a difference in needing things to live and just simply living for things. You understand that? All right. Now, if we are honest, then we have to admit that the level of need varies based on where we live in this world. If you take the level of need in the U.S. versus other places like Guyana, I don't know about where he is from, or starting in Mexico, or and definitely in Madagascar, then that level of need is vastly different. And that's okay. That's okay. I have never liked missionaries who have come to the U.S. and made God's people in the U.S. feel bad about having God's blessing in their lives. And they say things, and I'm not trying to be mean, but they say things like, bless God, my people, you have these comfortable pews. My people sit for 2 hours on hard pews with no backs, whatever. Yeah, and that's what they sit on in their home, too. And that's what they sit on at school, too. My people walk for, yeah, and they walk an hour to work, too. Most of the kids in my church walk to school by themselves, sometimes an hour. It is nothing for them. You know, my people say they don't have AC in their homes, either. Does that make sense? And so I have never liked it when someone tries to make American Christians feel bad about the blessings that we have just because other areas in the world don't have it. And by the way, folks, the only reason that God has given us the blessings he has given us is because we have been a blessing to this world by getting the gospel out to them. When England was the world, was the force for getting the gospel to the world, God blessed them and they were the major superpower in the world. So God blesses us in according with what we are doing for him. God does not ask his children to take a vow of poverty when they get saved. Okay? We all have needs. And that includes missionaries. Can I say that? Okay? So we had this mentality. I don't know why we had this. We went to the field. We're missionaries, so we're going to do without. Yeah, I don't know why we had that mentality. We're pioneering. We're going to, you know. So, I mean, we got to the mission field. This family welcomed us in. They had about 25 kids. No, just joking. It seemed like that. Not really that many. But, yeah, and so they were in a tight budget with all these kids, you know. And so they took us down to the outdoor market. Now, we're in the capital city. So we have, not like the U.S., but we have grocery stores and whatnot, you know. And so and you buy your chickens here, and you buy your meat here, and you buy this here. We're walking around in this slop but during the rainy season. All this stuff hanging up, flies covering everything. And I mean, you know, I mean, just people everywhere. And I mean, it is filthy. So he said, now you got to come here about 6 o'clock in the morning because, you know, they kill it fresh. There's blood. I mean, people are carting in dead animals and skins and it smells. It's nasty. Is it bad to say that? It's nasty. So it's okay. You know, it's fine. We get things there. But so you got to get there by 6 o'clock in the morning so you can get it before the flies get on it and before it goes bad and spoils in the heat. And so we could get up. I get up at 5 o'clock and I go to this chicken cellar and I want that chicken hanging there and get this meat, whatever, take it home, clean it and take some things out and try to cut it up. And I did that for about 2 weeks. I said, hang this. Hang this, man. I'll go to the store and buy something already done, and if it costs me a dollar more, I'm sorry. Now, if we're out in the village and there's no other option, I'll go to the market and with this mess, but I'll pay a dollar more for a chicken that's already cleaned and cut up. I mean, I'll go buy my eggs in the store. I mean, but I don't know why I had this mentality, like, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to live like this and whatever. So we had a house there, and in a nice, comfortable house like he was talking about. And but our water would get cut. And at the beginning, it would just get cut for about a month or two, you know, a little bit during the day, and then, you know, it was it, until the rains came. It got to the point where it was cut for like 6 months, and it would be cut from like 6 in the morning till 6 at night. And then if the power would get cut at 6, then the water couldn't come back, and so it would be to like 9 or 10. And so we're filling up these yellow jugs that they have at the market, you know, and we're preparing every day when the water comes at night. We're filling up these yellow jugs, and we're using it to flush toilets and take baths and, you know, whatever, wash things during the day and all this stuff. And so we did it for a couple of years. I have no idea why. I really don't. Like I said, we live in the capital, and so we. This evangelist from our church comes to help us do a Bible Institute course. And he says, Ben, what are you doing? Is this like this every year? Yeah. He said, put it in a water tank. Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, let's go buy a tank. He drew up the plans. I went to the store. I bought a tank. We put it in. And when the water's cut, we flip the switch and we got water. That's stupid. Dumb. And I mean, if you have to, it's one thing, but if you don't have to, you know. Sometimes I think American churches can have the same, they're missionaries, they can do without. And I'm not trying to complain. I've gotten to the point where I just have to say, you know, they'll tell me sometimes, I'm sorry, we got your hotel room. I'll say, you know, we're going to need two, right? I mean, we got 7 of us. What do you expect? I'm not trying to be unkind. You know, I had a guy tell me, you know, well, you can take cold showers, not enough hot water, whatever. It's like, okay. And we don't say anything. But folks, I'm not trying to be mean, but sometimes there's this mentality, a few places, where it's like, they can do without. Or even American Christians, well, they're missionaries, they can live just like the people. Do you know what you're saying? So that means we're going to cook over charcoal. You ever done that? We're going to go buy our food with no refrigerator. So you got to go to the market every day because it'll spoil. And then you don't have a vehicle, so you're going to have to stand there for 2 hours in the bus stop and then take an hour or two to get in the town with the traffic, do all your shopping, whatever, doing just existing. Am I right or wrong? Just existing takes your entire day. Why in the world would you send someone across the sea to do nothing but exist? I mean, now I'm not talking about living like kings and living excessive and living in luxury and all that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just saying there is this mentality sometimes, like, and some of it, by the way, comes from people who have never been missionaries. This guy called me up. I'm a missionary evangelist. Well, what field are you in? Oh, I travel the world. Oh, click. I don't care what you have to say. He was reaming me out for how I lived and about my home. Didn't even know me. Called me up. Told me my home church was bad. They were this and those. Well, the guy has never lived in the foreign world with a one-way ticket in his life, but he has all the advice on how to do it. And listen, I'm not trying to give. I'm just trying to say. I mean, all of us have needs, and you know, our kids need education just like yours do. And our kids get sick just like yours do. And by the way, our kids need clothes just like you do. And by the way, I can make fun of missionaries, but I have just, you know, sometimes you see people and you're like, man, what are you doing? And I mean, we have just decided that just because we are missionaries does not mean that we're going to look like trash. I mean, I hate to say that if that's bad. But, I mean, we represent the Lord. And I'm talking about if our kids need some pants because they're 6 inches high. I mean, did you realize your kid grew 6 inches last year? I mean, do you not see that? I mean, and I'm not trying to be mean. This is practical. We have tried to decide. You know, we like all of our teeth just like you do. And we do. And I got a mouth full of silver to prove that my teeth have taken a lot of work over the years. So listen, friend, by the way, we need vacation and fun just like you do. And then we do. We spend some money. I took my kids to the Cubs game. We spent 8 years since we went to the Cubs game. Now, I should repent. I should confess that as a sin to go to the Cubs game. But anyways, listen, friends, all I'm trying to say is what Paul is talking about here for himself and these people are just the basic needs of life. Does that make sense? We're not talking about excessive. We're not talking about a vow of poverty either. But look, just needs are normal. Number two, the need assigned. Now, Paul said in verse number 10, your care of me. And then he said in verse 16, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, why does this need exist? God's people are not exempt from the basic needs of life and the necessity of earning a living in order to provide for their needs. Amen. I think it needs to be said. Amen. Right. Is that work is honorable. Work and providing for your family is honorable. We have a nation full of people who think everybody owes them. Let me tell you something. We aren't owed anything. And so normally we work to provide our needs. Now, Paul's need did not exist from bad decisions or poor character. Sometimes we have need because we make bad decisions, we have poor character. But Paul's need existed because he became a missionary. Listen to this. Paul supported himself, we know that because he was a tent maker. Until when? Until he became a full-time missionary. Now, I'm telling you, friends, for any red-blooded man, it is kind of humbling to go to churches like Paul did and say, hey, we need you to support us. Does that make sense? It's Bible. It's not. I'll get to that in a second. But what I'm saying is I would imagine for Paul, who, by the way, I paid my way through Bible college. I worked through high school. And it was a very different thing for me to just step out on deputation and live on, you know, love offerings and support and whatever. So, but this need existed because of missions. And by the way, I am a full-time missionary. I'm not on the field with other things going. I live off of the support of God's people. I'm not working on a degree. No, I'm not saying that's wrong. But you'd be surprised what I've seen in the mission field. I am there to represent you and to try to do the work that you have, you want me to do on your behalf. And that's serious business to me. There is a command in Scripture for a church to care for its pastor. I can put this plug in because I'm not the pastor, amen? It's awkward if you're the pastor, I guess. You can tell a lot about a church, in my opinion, on how they take care of their pastor. You ought to take care of your pastor. And so as a missionary, you're teaching your people everything. And the Galatians says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And the same thing applies to missions. This need exists because of full-time ministry in God's work. And so when Paul had that need because of missions, God assigned that need to local churches. Just like he would a pastor. So the need is there. The need defined, basic needs of life. The need assigned, it's assigned to local churches. If you read in verse 15 and 16, God provided for Paul's needs through local churches. They didn't have their arms twisted. They sent willingly to Paul. And by the way, that's what we do as Baptist churches. No one forces us to. The people give willingly as the Lord leads the pastor in the church. And so that's how it's taken care of. And so God assigns the need for missionary to live to local churches. But now wait a minute. So Paul had a need because he was in missions, right? And so God assigned that need. He had a shortfall, and God assigned that need to local churches who met Paul's need, right? But now who has the need? Now where's the need? The people that gave. Because they gave out of what they need to Paul's ministry. And then that's become the verse 19, where Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So Paul had his needs supplied by being content to live by the giving of local churches. If you look at this passage, sometimes Paul had abundance and sometimes he had a lack. But he just lived on what the Lord provided. And so now God says, because you have taken out of what you have and you've given to meet Paul's need, now I'm going to meet your need. That's what verse 19 says. Now, God does not promise to make up the need, the shortfall, the lack, when the shortfall exists because of other things. For example, they're not bad things. For example, I take my kids to the Cubs game. That's fun, fine, it's not bad. But God has no obligation to refill that money that I spent on having a good time, right? But every time I give to missions, God has promised to supply that shortfall, that lack. Now, I think if all of us were honest, sometimes like Paul, sometimes there's abundance, sometimes there's a little bit of pressure, it's a little bit tight, the normal times of life. But let's be honest, often we have more than just our needs supplied. Sometimes we even have an abundance. And you know what I say? I say, praise the Lord. Let me just say this. If God blesses you by your hard work and your faithfulness to God and your giving, you don't have to apologize to that about that to me. Why do some Christians feel like they have to apologize for having God's blessing on their lives? Honestly, I'm just saying this. It's true. Sometimes I tell someone, "Hey, man, that has a nice truck. I like that." You can almost see, like, well, yeah, I almost feel bad about it. Yeah, I got this special thing. I got this sale. It's a miracle. We got to hear the miracle. We all love miracle stories, right, when God does that, right? Everyone loves a deal. But you know what? If you were to say, yeah, it's a nice truck. I paid full price for it, and I love it. I would say, praise the Lord. I'm glad for you. Because when I say I like your truck, I mean I like your truck, and I'm happy for you. I don't care if you paid full price or got it 50% off. It's not my business. I'm serious, man. If you have a brand new boat and I say, I like your boat, I like your boat and I'm glad you have one. Or your house. I saw a guy that I went to Bible college with and he's now a pastor. I said, man, you have a great house. Praise the Lord. And he walked away from a tremendous salary, he and his wife, and they became a pastor. But they got blessed. You don't have to apologize to me for God's blessings. I am not that kind of Christian. I love it when God blesses his people. And he will. But this is what I think God wants. He blesses us. Sometimes it's an abundance. Sometimes it's a little tight. Normal life. But I think God wants us to continually create a need. Because if we never create the shortfall, then there's nothing that God can give back. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And so as we give, what are we doing? We're just creating a shortfall that God can give, that God can supply back. And what you give is between you and God. And what you do is based on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and you're a man of God. And so there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no pressure. It's all grace giving. All I'm saying is, We increased our Faith Promise missions through our church, our sending church, this year. And you know what? It's like we've done this. I've been given to Faith Promise missions since I was 11 years old, working on the dairy farm. You know what I found? Is it just God just keeps supplying? And I don't know how. And so I just say, folks, keep creating the need. Because when you create the need, God can fill it. The need to find normal necessities of life. We all have them. God wants us to have normal lives. He doesn't want to take a vow of poverty, okay? The need assigned. The missionaries' need is assigned to the churches. I can't make a living in Madagascar. By law, I can't work there and be a missionary, okay? So God has always done his work through local churches. And the need supplied. When we create the lack, the shortfall, then God has something to give back.